Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard this week's edition of Seascapes, your maritime programme. This week we have our monthly report from Colin Becker on the inland waterways as the 53rd Shannon Boat Rally begins this weekend. We celebrate the issue by on post of a new set of stamps featuring the port of Cork. We have a few sets of the first day covers of the stamps in our Seascapes competition this week, courtesy of on post. Mirror World Championships are set to start in Drumminear at Lough Derg Yacht Club. We have music from Rita Connolly. The Royal St George Yacht Club in Dúnlaoghaire host the Second Access National Championships. We'll have the details. First this week, to Olympic sailing prospect Claudine Murphy. Claudine is the daughter of Olympian Cathy McLeavy and Con Murphy and sister of Annalise. Seascapes caught up with Claudine during a brief break in training a week ago on the East Coast to discuss her plans for Rio de Janeiro in 2016.
Yeah, the boat we've taken on, it's the new women's double-handed boat for the Rio Olympics. It's called the 49er FX, and it's a skiff, which is a high-performance boat, and it has a rigid, basically fully battened mainsail and jib, which makes it very fast and difficult to stop. So the learning curve at the start is quite slow, but once you get to a certain stage where you're able to control the boat, then you can start improving on your boat handling. And that's the stage we've just reached now, where we're comfortable sailing in a lot of breeze, but we still need to improve our maneuvers because they're not up to scratch of what some of the other girls are at internationally.
What about your first experience on the water? What was that like and what was it in?
It was actually in a Hurricane 5.9 catamaran on Blessington Lake, and it was fast. It was a fast experience. Mum used to bring, when we were big enough to practice to walk, we were pulled out in the trapeze of these catamarans and could fly around Blessington Lake on Wednesday and Sundays. So it's quite a different experience, I think, for your first boat. And then I moved into the Optimist and got a bit of a fright as it was very slow and quite like a bathtub. I think last summer was brilliant for raising awareness for sailing in Ireland, and I think the broadcasting at London was very good for the sailing, and then it helped that, you know, Annalise had such a fantastic first 2 days of the Games that it got everybody following and trying to find out more about sailing. So it's nice when I say now I'm campaigning for Rio, that people actually, they might have seen sailing before now, while for the last cycle there's no way there would have been that much interest. So it's just brilliant for, I think, sailing and, you know, for getting more people into the sport in Ireland. A lot of people aren't aware of the amount of work that goes into what Annalise did at the last Games, and you treat it as a full-time job, as if, you know, as you would go into any sort of job where you'd be working, you know, as many hours a week as you can, because if that's the way you treat your campaign, they're the people who are coming out with the medals. It's the people who you see out training when nobody else is out training. And Annalise just, she has an incredible attitude. She never thinks she's good enough. Like, Annalise will, she'll under-exaggerate how she trains. Like, Annalise will go for a 100-kilometre cycle and she'll say, oh, I did 80 kilometres. You'll go, I saw you did 100 kilometres. You know, that's her mindset. You know, it's always wanting to be... Exactly. And what I've realised in the last few months is, I think, almost the most important thing in the double-handed boat And the girl I'm sailing with, Andrea Brewster, she's a top sailor. But she's a single-handed sailor as well, but she hasn't been outside the top 20 in the world for the last 8 years. So I have a serious amount of respect for her abilities as well. But we both realise that, we need each other as much. She needs me as much as I need her. And it's actually what somebody said to us is that you have to, when it comes down to the crunch, you need to completely and totally rely on each other, or it's very difficult. At the moment, what we are concentrating on getting out on the water as much as possible, because the bottom line is that the more comfortable we are in the boat, the better we're going to perform. But at the same time, it's very important to keep up the strength and keep up your aerobic fitness. So, I try to throw a cycle in every day. Even if I'm exhausted, I'll do 30 minutes to an hour, just get the legs going. And then the weights is important as well. I'm doing quite a lot of weight training to build strength for the long hours on the water. I think another thing people maybe don't realise is there's so many steps along the way to Rio. And the way we think is, we're thinking we're at World Championships this year, then we're thinking, right, where are we going to train for the winter? We're thinking then World Cup circuit, and then the Olympic qualifier in Santander in Spain next September, which is vital to qualify at, because it will mean qualification can be done early and then preparation on your own personal goals can be achieved. The way sailing works as well is you qualify your nation and then you'll have selection. So it's quite nice to have the nation qualified so you can just concentrate on what your selection, events may be. But if you don't qualify, then you have to worry about selection and qualifying at the same time, which can be, I think, sometimes people underperform when they're trying to think about too many things at one time.
Claudine Murphy. The Royal St. George Yacht Club is hosting the second Access National Championships at the club this weekend. The event is open to all physically and sensorially disabled sailors aged 8 to 18, and they need to be affiliated with a club that runs Access Sailing in Ireland. Boats from Galway, Kinsale, Lough Derg and Dunleary are entered. They'll be racing on Saturday afternoon and Sunday, and a good social programme for both competitors and parents. You can find out more on the Irish Sailing Association website, www.sailing.ie. Three-time world champion kitesurfer Frenchman Bruno Schroke left the beach at Penanez in Labarac in Brittany, and after 16 hours and 37 minutes of sailing, Bruno realised one of his dreams. He's the first person to kitesurf from France to Ireland. Yes, you heard correctly, kitesurf from France to Ireland. He managed to kite 240 nautical miles. That's 444 kilometres. Back in 2008, he became the first man to cross the hazardous Cape Horn on his kiteboard. This Irish campaign is the first leg of three challenges that he has set out to complete over the next 2 years. For Seascapes, Marcella Connolly talked to an exhausted Bruno Schroke as he was welcomed ashore at the Royal Cork Yacht Club in Crosshaven. We'll also hear from his Irish coordinator and Cork resident, Arnaud Disson, on what kind of person Bruno really is and what it takes to be a world champion kite surfer.
I came from France by kite. So I start this morning at 6 o'clock, 6.30 in the morning, and I just arrive just when the night comes. Now, I'm tired, but I'm very happy. I'm very happy to finish this project. I'm very happy to show that the kite surf, it's one sport that grew up, and I'm sure the island country, it's one of the famous places to kite and to practice surfing and everything. So it's, I think it's good to arrive directly in the island. It's the first step of the different projects that I want to do. And the next steps, but the last step, it will be New York Brest. So to do New York Brest, I want to do France Island. After it's France Tunisia. And after New York Brest. So I do the Cape Horn 2008. The last year I crossed, I beat the record between Brittany and Plymouth, my kite. And now I just I make this record, so I'm very happy. And to create a project like that, you need to train every day during like 6 months, and to prepare everything to be sure that you can do the project. And you have always you need to be lucky at one moment, because if the wind is not here, or if you take the bad weather, or the not the good condition, so it's very important to work a lot and to be sure that everything can be okay to realize the project. It's better to kite with the sun, but definitely it will be better with a little bit more wind. But it's warm, sunshine, and everything. So, and I saw the dolphin in the entry, so it's perfect. It's about 250 miles, nautical miles, so it's around 450 kilometers. My girlfriend is with me on a boat, and a friend is on a boat too, and everybody work together. And it's a team project, you know. It's not only one guy to realize the project. You need to have a staff around you, and if you're alone, you cannot do the project like that. So it's a real team working together that we can realize a project like that. It's very difficult. You need to stop to thinking, and don't look on back. Look just in front. Thank you very much for the island to support me for this project and to do the promotion of the kitesurf and all this discipline. And I'm sure we work together to just do the promotion of island like the big destination for kiteboarding and water sport.
I had heard of Bruno because he was the first man, you know, going across Cap Horn. And ultimately, I made contact and I said, look, land into Cork, maybe I can help. I've been living here for a while and I know quite well the harbour. And so we spoke on the mail first, and then he called me a couple of times. And Bruno is really an inspiring character. He does presentations and stuff like that. And he's a very good conférencier, as they say in France. And so basically we decided a few plans for landing here, the last one being yesterday, actually a phone call where I've explained about, you know, White Bay being a sandy place, and Bruno did a reconnaissance here, but basically nothing beats, you know, knowing someone locally. Then I've sent him some charts and possible landing route to approach. These would be probably better. And he was aiming for the Smart Bay buoy, which we just laid out outside, so it was a kind of a marker to aim for. And he landed pretty much on the buoy, which is fantastic. He says that the day he started kite sailing, he thought there was something more into kite sailing than just kite sailing. And if you think of it, the first time a guy flew a kite, it gave the idea to tow a ship behind. And now we have supertankers crossing the Atlantic using this. So Bruno keeps working at this, and everything he does has a certain element of, you know, proving that you can do something with a kite. Bruno did 2 years ago actually the fastest record across the channel. So he's a man of record, a breaking record. So what record he broke? Probably half a dozen today, the longest distance on a kite surf. There were some people on the internet saying that he has set up rules for offshore kite sailing at this stage. Well, also the longest time as well, 17 hours, it's long. So I can think probably two or three other records, such as courage and endurance. And his mental. I mean, you got to want what you want.
French kitesurfer Bruno Schroka and Arnaud Disson talking to Marcella Connolly for Seascapes. Congratulations to all involved in the rescue of those aboard the tall ship the Astrid as she ran aground earlier this week off Ballymacus Point near Kinsale. Easy to understand how upset Captain De Cam was at her loss. Music next here on Seascapes, and Rita Connolly with Ripples in the Rock Pools.
Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. And the boats are in full winter. Donal an Coggy, will you marry me? Donal an Coggy, will you marry me? Donal an Coggy, will you marry me? Will I carry your three children? Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara. Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara.
We head to the west next, and from our Galway studios, Colin Becker has this month's report from the Inland Waterways Association of Ireland.
I've just come back from 10 days on the 38th annual Loch Derg Rally, and there really was only one topic of conversation the whole week, the weather. That's not uncommon on boat rallies in this country, but usually the complaint is that the wind and rain interfered with the rally agenda. Nothing like that this year, of course, though there were quite a few people complaining of sunburn, and I was forced to swim in the lake on a few occasions to cool off. That's not something that happens too often. Aside from the weather and all the usual crack that goes on boat rallies, one of the real high points of the week for me was to see the white-tailed sea eagles flying over the lake at Mount Shannon. These really are magnificent animals. The female has a wingspan of some 8 feet, and she's been captured on video taking a 3-foot-long pike from the water and bringing it back to her nest to feed the chicks. All credit to the team who've managed their reintroduction. I've heard a report that in parts of Scotland, they reckon a pair of sea eagles breeding in the area is worth millions to the local economy. Let's hope the same turns out to be true for Mount Shannon. The 53rd Shannon Boat Rally kicks off this weekend, and we'll be visiting various harbours between Carrick-on-Shannon and Boyle in County Roscommon. This Sunday, between about 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, the fleet will do a formal sail past and review in Carrick as part of the Carrick 400 celebrations. The unusually dry spell means that water levels are quite low, and there have been a number of incidents of groundings reported. Waterways Ireland have advised that a shallow patch has been reported towards the west bank, between 500 metres and a kilometre south of Devonish Island, which is a couple of kilometres north of Shannon Bridge. Waterways Ireland have installed a new red marker buoy at the northeast corner of Hare Island on Loch Ree to make the channel in that area a bit clearer. And visitors to Coot Hall are advised that the old floating mooring south of the public quay is in a dangerous condition and is no longer safe to use. Waterways Ireland have also advised that the harbour arm of the Grand Canal in Tullamore will be closed to navigation on Friday, August the 2nd, to facilitate kayak trials. And there will be mooring restrictions at the floating jetty south of Carrick-on-Shannon on Sunday, August the 4th, to facilitate a regatta. As usual, if you'd like further information about any of these topics or about our waterways in general, you can call me, Colin Becker, on our low-call number 1890 924991. And of course, there's further details on our website, www.iwai.ie. And that's all from the Inland Waterways. Until next time, here on Seascapes.
Last week, at a ceremony in the Port of Cork boardroom, Unpust launched a series of three new stamps featuring the Port of Cork. The three stamps, designed by Steve Simpson, feature MV Queen Elizabeth berthed at the Cove cruise berth, a Maersk vessel carrying large containers of bananas entering a skiddy deepwater berth, and the Cork Clipper yacht racing past Cove as part of the Clipper race in 2010. Seascapes spoke to Barney Whelan of Unpust about how these stamps came to pass.
You know, in this country we actually don't have an honours list per se. All the subject matter of any stamps that we produce is actually run through Cabinet before and approved by Cabinet before we actually start working on them. When we talked about dealing with the Port of Cork, we were very anxious to portray the current facilities and the potential future facilities that this port has to offer, not just Irish trade but also European trade in general. We were anxious to portray freight, leisure activities, and also the fact that Cork has Ireland's only dedicated cruise liner facility. I spent a long time in the fish farming business, so I have a deep interest in marine engineering and marine activity of that nature. But then I also used to sail boats back for rich people from the continent, which was a lovely way of passing an annual leave break. I mean, they were wonderful trips. You used to, you know, I did have a rib of my own, you know, but getting into a sailing boat that's 40 to 45 foot long, and taking that back, you learn an awful lot, but it's a wonderful way to do things. In fact, last year when you mentioned the Titanic, we did a set of stamps for the Titanic. We launched them at the big initiative down in Cove, and in fact we had to reprint them. They were so popular. We are known as a country that produces very high quality stamps. Just recently we produced a stamp for the UNESCO City of Literature, and we got a young Irish writer to write a short story of 222 words, which is now on the stamp. The whole short story is on that stamp. And but we're known, as I said, internationally for the quality of what we do. And the stamps actually do, if you look back at the history of nations, they depict very well the state of development of nations over their over their time frame. They illustrate the type of printing, the type of technology, the type of mythology and storytelling that happens in nations. Obviously, you want the subject matter to be happy that what we produce is of use to them and good for their business and for their future. So we did a lot of work with them. We wanted to make sure that the imagery was correct. Thankfully, and if you go to the Port of Cork website, it's a huge resource, wonderful resource of imagery and information of general interest and specific interest. But we didn't have to commission any new photographs. They were all there to be included, designed, and then made up. They started building in 1814. In fact, exactly the same year as the Port of Cork buildings were started. And again, coincidentally, both buildings were finished in 1818. We're anxious that we will portray and illustrate the centenary of 1916 in 2016 within the building of the GPO, but we're very anxious that we also would continue our business there as we are at the moment. So we have a very exciting development which is in design at the moment, but which we hope to go to planning in September of this year.
Stamp design is a very specific form, is it not? So you need somebody who really understands that particular art, as it were.
Yeah, it takes a good while for both illustrators, our photographers, our artists to actually get to grips with the constraints. First of all, the item has perforations. Not every artist's painting has perforations around it. It has to have the name of the country. It has to have the denomination. Is it 60 cent or 90 cent? And if there's any writing on it at all, so it could be the species of animal, for instance, that has to be put on in English, in Latin, and of course in our native tongue, Irish. So there's all those constraints, as well as then the actual size of it. So those are all things, but it's actually a wonderfully pleasant thing, part of the brief, to be honest. These are little ambassadors for this country, and as I mentioned, they do depict the state of a nation as it is today. And if you look back over the history, that's exactly what's the case.
Barney Whelan of An Post. Next to Brendan Keating, CEO of the Port of Cork Company.
We are indeed very, very honoured and very, very grateful to An Post that they would feature these stamps on the Port of Cork and Cork Harbour more particularly. No, it didn't come about by accident. I'd like to give credit to a close friend of mine, Mr. Brendan Toohey, who he and I spoke about this over a cup of coffee about 3 years ago, and it's taken that period to bring it to this day, and we're delighted and thrilled that this day has arrived. Gillian O'Leary played a very, very significant role. She steered it through all kinds of obstacles and issues and dealt with all the matters that arose, as do arise when these occasions present themselves. Also Sarah McKeown and Sinead Kavanagh have been very, very instrumental in bringing this day of celebration about. The choice in the end of the day was by An Post. However, we did have a very significant role to play. And from our perspective, the stamps depict one, I suppose, leisure activity and the importance that it plays in Cork Harbour. Next, then, you have the commercial traffic as represented by the Maersk vessel bringing fruit in from Central America and Southern America. And then lastly, then, we have the cruise business, which is more associated with the tourism product, all of which resonate very, very strongly with Cork Harbour and are central to our business.
I like the fact that on the envelopes representing the three, you've got the Sirius in the background, which of course is so emblematic of the great spirit of a maritime adventure that this port represents.
Exactly, and I suppose it's ironic to some extent that the Maersk vessel is now travelling weekly across the Atlantic with cargo, following on the footsteps from the Sirius. this particular initiative will help raise awareness levels from our perspective. But yes, we are having a good year. The cruise business, we'd have over 60 calls this year, we hope. On the animal feed side, we're having a very exceptional year and we're delighted for that. And the container business is holding its own. So all in all, we're having a successful year.
And even as we sit here, Brendan, the marina, it's starting to fill up outside because many are obviously taking part in the gathering cruise, or they're heading for Glendore for the classic regatta there. You're going to see a fair bit of traffic, I'm sure, during the summer months on the marina here.
We are very hopeful that will be the case, Marcus. It's lovely to see it being used by the people. It gives such access to the city, and of course, the higher the level of utilisation, the greater the profile we get as a port company. So we're thrilled to see the level of activity that is taking place on our pontoon.
To coincide with the launch of the stamps, the Port of Cork also announced the winner of their photography competition themed Cork Harbour, A Port in Focus. Tony O'Driscoll from Cove was the overall winner, and to mark his achievement, his photograph was designed into a postcard. The postcard was unveiled with the stamps attached, all ready for posting. We have special sets of the first day cover, courtesy of On Post, in this week's Seascapes competition, plus copies of that postcard. Our question is, can you name the designer of the stamps? Answers on a postcard to Seascapes, RTE Radio 1, Father Matthew Street in Cork, or by email to seascapes@rte.ie. This weekend, the Mirror World Championships begin in Lochdurg Yacht Club in Dromineer. We wish them fair sailing. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll be talking to photographer and videographer Brian Carlin about a life on the ocean waves. In our Seascapes competition, we'll have those winners of the Port of Cork First Day covers from On Post. And you can win copies of Bodine Islamy CD, courtesy of Gay Lynn. Maritime enthusiast Declan Bannon on the shipwright's use of the half-hull model, tall ship sailor and mariner Jim Carr on great voyages. All that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.